From Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." Remember how we've always used to sing that song? But then verse 2 says, "See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." And we always sang that in a prophetic way, in the sense of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is what I believe it's intended for. This is written to the nation of Israel, but it's also prophetic for the church. And as the nation of Israel, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And so God is going to restore the nation of Israel. And as we said a couple of weeks ago, we see the covenant-keeping God who swore by himself, established Israel in 1948, and in the midst of all their enemies has given them the victory and still looking after them. That is, I mean, to me, that is such a great encouragement, or should be for all of us, that we see God keeping his promises to 1,000 generations, where he's doing they fought impossible battles and won them. Just phenomenal. And eventually he's going to reestablish Israel as the favored nation in the world, but there's going to be a darkness covering the earth and a thick darkness over the people before that happens. "Lift up your eyes and look about you, all assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar and your daughters are carried on the arm." I believe that's also prophetic for us, or many of our family members at that time will come to the Lord, because as we said many times, there's going to be gross darkness, but also an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And God's going to use that to separate those that believe in truth will be attracted to Jesus, and those that are evil will be attracted and taken over by the darkness. And the scary part about all of this is that all the warnings in the Bible are to the church. Jesus said, "I wish you were hot or cold, because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth." And he warned the church at Ephesus because they'd lost their first love. And the church at Laodicea, I think it was chapter 3, "Repent and I will save you from the trial that's to come. But if you do not, then I will come to you as a thief in the night." And this whole warning as a thief in the night is to the unfaithful servant, the unfaithful Christian. So in other words, there's no time left to play church. And what God is doing all over the world is raising up his church, the true believers who will work together, united, where it's not about them or their ministry, but it's about Jesus and his kingdom. And our call has always been to prepare God's people for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. "Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come." And it goes on to talk about the blessings that will come to the nation of Israel. But blessings are also coming to the church. It's like a double prophecy. And so this is what we're all about. This is what the ministry is all about. I was at Pastor Coonley's yesterday, and Thursday also, I believe. And he is establishing Gospel TV in Breslau. And so they're getting their stuff together, they're getting their finances, they're getting everything starting to fall into place for them, but it's always a process with the Lord. None of them have ever done this before, and so they have to learn as they're going, but they have a vision to get TV to everybody that has internet and satellite TV, YouTube, any kind of communication, and they want to eventually get all over the world. Right now, I believe they're getting, I think he said, 8,000 hits a day, which would be a quarter of a million a month, which would be 4 million a year. But they're just getting started, and they want to escalate that and step it up. And so he still wants me, we've done end time series there, but he wants me to do, now he's cut it back to 20 more programs before June. But God has so burdened his heart to warn the people what is coming. And it's not a very popular message. He's getting flack from a lot of people, his own board. Some people that believe in the pre-trib rapture have left already. So, but I just encouraged them. I said, Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so they spoke of the false prophets. And so it's a prophetic type message, a prophetic type ministry of what is coming, the warning, and it must be given whether people listen or whether they don't listen. So Jesus is not playing church anymore. Mm-hmm. It's time to be serious, and I know you all are because you keep coming every week. Now, I put a map up here of Ethiopia. We have Somalia down here, Kenya, Sudan, Eritrea up on top. These are all terrorist countries and extreme Muslims, and there's even extreme Muslims in Ethiopia. I want you to understand the Ethiopian people, though. They are more a friendly type peacemakers. So the fundamental Muslims in Ethiopia, most of them would not kill anybody. It's not in their nature to do that. They're not Arabs, all right? So there's a whole difference here. It's the evil ones, the ones that have so much evil in their heart, that take on the jihad and try to enforce establishing, the same as Mohammed did, their religion by war. Others are trying to do it politically. Others are just trying to do it because they believe Islam is true. And so we have all these different variables within Islam. But we started going to Ethiopia about, I don't know how long, I forget time, maybe 8, 9, 10 years, something like that. And first of all, I'd like to thank you for your prayers. I want to share with you quickly why you pray for your pastor while he's gone. I left on a Tuesday morning at 10:30, and when it was a straight flight to Ethiopia, 13 hours on a plane, and arrived there Wednesday morning, 8 a.m., couldn't sleep on the plane. There was a big Ethiopian who works in the oil sands, Fort McMurray, and when he sat down in his chair, he just automatically took up half of mine. But he was a real friendly guy. It was hard to sleep, though, so I couldn't sleep on the plane. He was 38 years old. He had a couple months off. He was going to Ethiopia to look for a wife. He was a little concerned. He says, I'm not too old, am I? I said, no, never too old. Go for it. But he hadn't flown much, and we were flying over to land, and there was clouds below us in the morning as we were landing. Before we were landing, he says, what is that, the sea? I thought we were over dry land. I says, no, that's the clouds. Clouds, he says. I guess he'd never seen clouds, never flew above the clouds. He didn't realize they'd be under him. Anyways, we had a good discussion. And but then when I landed, we went to my room, and certainly not a five-star hotel. We're trying to save money, and it was only like $34, $35 a night. And they had a nice room, but it was right by the road on the first story, first floor, noisy. And the bed was about as hard as that table. The pillow was a little softer, but not much. But I had seating space there, and there was two Chesterfield chairs type of things with cushions. So I took the cushions out of the chair, put them on the hard bed in the middle, and slept on that for 3 hours just to get some sleep. And then that night, I had all my stuff in there, and I was still really tired from traveling and jet lag. And so I stayed there that night, but didn't get very good sleep because of the traffic and everything, waking up every 30 minutes or an hour. And so during the day, I got a room in the back of the hotel, and I got all the mattresses were hard. I said, do you have any soft mattresses? And the hotel manager lady said, I have one left. I had all soft mattresses, but then everybody complained, so I put in hard mattresses. Now everybody's complaining about the hard mattresses, but I have one soft mattress left, I will get you. And she had a pillow. So this is Thursday in the daytime, but then I got some bacteria from, must have been a little bit of salad I ate or some, just a couple leaves. I thought, what can it hurt? That night I had the dry heaves, diarrhea, Thursday night, so I didn't get a whole lot of good sleep then. And I didn't realize what it was. I thought maybe it was food poisoning or something. But the next morning, I just didn't have any energy because of what I'd been through all night. And I ate a bit of breakfast, but I couldn't go and teach. So I phoned Gaytonet, and he took the first day. It was the first day of the seminar. Plus, the seminar was supposed to start on Monday. But because the other one got canceled, he moved it back to Friday. I went on Wednesday morning so I could get in shape for Monday and get used to the jet lag, so he moved the seminar up instead. These guys don't understand being 70 years old, having had a heart surgery and needing rest. They're just young, and they just feel like everybody should feel like they do, I guess. So anyways, getting used to the food, the jet lag, not sleeping, getting sick. And so that day, I just tried to get some strength back, but I couldn't eat at noon, couldn't eat at supper time. Supper time, Pastor Gaytonet took me to a different restaurant where they, or a different hotel where he thought they might have better food. It's hard finding food that you like, so you eat because you got to eat, but it's hard to get it down sometimes. But I was too tired. I would chew it, but it felt like I didn't have enough energy to swallow it and didn't care to. And so I couldn't eat in this newer hotel either. And so he took me to the hospital, and they found out I had bacteria, so they gave me some antibiotic. And then the doctor gave me some electrolytes, and you put them into water. So I was supposed to drink 2 liters of this stuff. And he said, this will return your strength, and then just rest and try to start eating. That was what he said. Well, I drank one that night. The next morning, I felt a little better, and I was able to eat breakfast because breakfast is usually pretty good. And so I went to the seminar and taught for 2 hours. And then Pastor Gaytonet took me someplace to eat because I can't eat their food. But I couldn't eat. We went back to the seminar, and then Pastor Gaytonet had to go to the bank. I knew that. He said, I'll be a half an hour. And I thought it was going to take an hour and a half at least. Ethiopian time. So I sat there for a couple more hours. Then I taught 2 more hours. Then they had questions and answers for 2 hours, so I had good discussion with them. So I was gone like 12 hours for the day with no rest and teaching and talking for 6 hours, but I sat down all the time at least. But in the evening, I still couldn't eat, and so I tried to sleep that night all right, and then the next morning I had breakfast again and felt a little bit better. And by this time, I had drank the 2 liters. So I went back and did 2 more hours of teaching, which was the last day of the seminar. The reason I did was because I knew I had a week off and I could get back in shape, hopefully. But I didn't want to miss this seminar because they'd all been gathered together and came from all different places of Ethiopia. And so I did 2 more hours, but then that was it. I said, Gaytonet, you have to do the rest back, and I just couldn't do anymore. It wasn't that I was sick, I was just exhausted. I couldn't do anymore. I went, and when I get over-exhausted, then I get the raw sensation because of the heart operation. And if I keep going, then it just gets so bad it takes longer to rest and get away with it and clean it up. And then in that, I thought I had a week to rest up, which I did, but when they put me in the back room, every so often, the lights go out in certain parts of the city because there's not enough power to power the whole city. Well, they have a generator, and it was right underneath my bedroom window. And all the smoke from the generator, I mean, I had the windows closed, but it was still sneaking through, and all you're breathing is like diesel fuel. So, you know, you go and sit outside because you can't breathe that because you get sick. And I asked them when they're going to turn the generator off. They said 11 o'clock at night. Well, they shut it off at 1 o'clock. So between the food changes, being sick, time change, not resting, teaching all those hours, I got so far behind I didn't know if I was going to get caught up again. So by the end of the following week, we were going to go to the southern part and do the seminars for the Muslim brothers. We were going to leave Sunday afternoon. Everything was still all right. What is happening in the country is that the government is really corrupt. The people are rising up because they can't afford to live anymore. The sugar has gone up 6 times in price because they made took bribes and made government deals with other countries to ship the sugar out. And so there's just a lot of corruption in the government, and the government really does not care about the people at all. It's like that in most African countries. They have no value for life whatsoever. And so there's all these uprisings. We have, this is the map of Ethiopia, Addis, the capital city's here. Our first seminar was supposed to be our second seminar was supposed to be 700 kilometers away. But the people in that area killed a couple of government officials. And so they shut down the airplanes flying there, plus they shut down the road so we couldn't go there. And so what they did was invited a few of the people to Addis, and the people that were meeting in Addis, they had some of them stay home, and then they invited some other people from different parts of the country also, and they made one seminar. We only had 42 people, but they were from all over. They actually came border, which is 1,000 kilometers, and so we had a great time with them, and I'll share that in a moment. But so they just canceled the one seminar, but Pastor Gatenet has got enough money left that he's going to go back and do that seminar. And we had bishops and priests come. He was a bishop from up here, and he told Pastor Gatenet that if he would come up there and do a seminar, he could get 100 Orthodox priests together for him to do the seminar. And we're also supposed to have 100 Orthodox priests here. But they really, really enjoyed the seminar. It was just, they were just amazed with it all. I got some notes here, but I got to be able to read them and figure out when's what, what's where. So the one seminar was canceled due to the unrest, and the roads were closed. So we brought the leaders from the other areas down to Ethiopia. There's 42 bishops and priests. A reformation started in the Orthodox Church about 20 years ago. There was a move of the Spirit, but it didn't carry through. 10 years ago, it started again, but it didn't carry through. But this time, a few years ago, it started, and now hundreds of bishops and priests are leaving the Orthodox institution because they're filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, casting out demons, healing the sick. Actually, in this place here, there were Pentecostals leaving the Pentecostal church to join the Orthodox priests because more was happening. See, even the Pentecostals who believe the same as we do, but if you get religious, you start to lose the move of the Spirit because of the way they run things. And so this time it really caught, and there's lots of them that are leaving. But what is happening is that they leave the Orthodox Church. Well, they had a manse to live in, I guess, or a place to live, and they had a wage. Now they have no wage, no income, no place to live, and they're starting house churches. But they're under persecution from the Orthodox people. The people are beating them up, trying to rip their clothes off. They're discouraging and threatening the people where the house churches are to not use their homes. Again, it's being persecuted by your own because you got a greater revelation. But this is the way it's always been. This is why we have so many denominations to start with, because every denomination started with a good intent and a revelation, but then God brought a new revelation. They couldn't accept it, so they'd persecute the next ones. When we started in town here, some Pentecostal people called us a cult. You know, it's always been that way. But what God is doing now is a move of His Spirit, and He is bringing people from all different denominations that are Spirit-filled, and He's building His church to work together in every area and district. So, but they left the Orthodox Church, but they're still Orthodox. Can we have that first picture up, Ted? Oh, it's already up. I didn't think it was up. You guys weren't laughing yet. Oh, maybe I didn't realize what you were laughing at. They wanted me to put on a bishop's gown because I was teaching their priests and bishops, so I had to get dressed up in the gown. It cost me $100, but I brought it home with it in case I need it again. Dave Singh thought I should wear it this morning, but I figured you guys would just all laugh and not listen to anything I was saying. So maybe put the next picture up to Ted, which should be Pastor Gatinet. All right. So they've come out of the religious system, but the religious system is still in their hearts. And so the heart seminar was just astounding to them. And the Lord has given us the heart seminar to get his people ready for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so the heart seminar was to get the religious system out of their hearts. And teach them how to deal with the persecution. When we were there, when we had the meeting, while I was waiting for Pastor Gatinet, my interpreter, to come, they were all praying and hollering and screaming, and I thought they were just praying in their own language, but when Gatinet came in, he said, no, that's not Amharic, that's speaking in tongues. They're all praying and doing spiritual warfare and praying in tongues. So they were really amazed with the teaching. They said that they had had a lot of teaching, been to a lot of seminars. These men read their Bible. The Orthodox people, 75% of them go to church every week, so they're serious. And they do love the Lord. They just didn't know him as well as they should have. So a number of them said that they had mysteries in their life and questions that were never answered, and the heart seminar answered all those questions and took away the doubt and the mysteries from them because they understood everything now. They got a lot of answers to a lot of things, but I think the key is that they really understood the kingdom of God, the spiritual realm, and saw the difference between living in the kingdom and the religious system. And the Lord had me warn him, the same as I always do in these places, that if you don't live these, we teach the three foundational principles of Christian life. You live these and everything else will fall into place. I said, if you don't live these and teach these, then 20 years down the road, you're just going to be another religious system, even though you speak in tongues and cast out demons. So the Pentecostals have done that for years, and many of them have become religious. Not all of them, but depending on the pastor and the teaching. And so they really took that to heart. And they, one bishop stood up, and every night after we were gone, they would, you know, they had places to stay, and they would get together and talk about what they'd heard and their experiences and everything. And he was talking on behalf of all of them. Then he said, we have been beaten. We've been had our clothes ripped off. We've been persecuted. But this teaching has really, really, we've never heard teaching that has ministered to our heart like this has. And I believe what happens with the pastors in Serbia, they got a vision for their church and they got a vision for outreach because they now knew how to teach and what was important, and they understood the spiritual realm better, because when you get in religion, you sort of get into a fog and you're teaching lots of stuff, which is biblical, but it's not changing lives. But now they knew how to change lives. And he said, you're one man and you came here with this message. We're only 42. But in spite of the persecution and everything that they're going through, they talked it over and they said, they will not quit doing what they're doing. And they're going to take this message. There's 100 million people in Ethiopia, and they're going to get it to as many people as they can. Well, if they just get it to the Orthodox, that would be great. And they wanted the overheads. They already started translating it into their native tongue. They have different tribal languages, but in their own tribal languages, they start to translate it into that. They're going to go home and teach it to their people. Some of the bishops and the priests were actually sitting there crying while we were teaching. It's amazing how the Lord uses this. Well, he's used it to get his church ready. And this is what he does. I just go and teach, and I don't know what he's doing in their hearts, but they're just responding, and they were standing up and giving testimonies and crying. And of course, they've been under a lot of persecution, but to know now that they have to love their enemies, pray for those that persecute them, that they should call themselves blessed, because great is their reward in heaven, because they're suffering persecution for the name of Jesus. So you have to mention all these things to them so that they're thinking kingdom. Because if they don't think kingdom, it's terrible being under persecution and not know what to do to get out of it. And if you're under persecution day after day after day, week after week, and you don't know how to deal with it, then you just finally give up. You give in, you quit. And that's what the persecution, if they're taught properly, it will make them stronger and give them opportunity to grow. And so they realized what was ahead of them, but they were bound determined now that they were not going to quit. They're going to keep doing it. But you have to see that God has started this move in the Orthodox Church, and he's brought them out to get them ready for this final harvest. And so this is the right time for them to receive the heart seminar. Because once they've been doing some things, they've been frustrated, this sort of pulls everything back together in its proper perspective. Jesus is our Lord. This is what we're called to do. And even if it means getting beat up, at least they're not getting killed, but their houses might get burned or different things like that. So there is persecution, but now they know how to handle it. And once they start living these principles and teaching these principles, then they won't get religious again. Plus, the Holy Spirit will then start to straighten out their theology. So we don't deal with theology. We just deal with the heart and the basic principles of God's kingdom and how to live in the kingdom. So I always stress this is kingdom thinking. If you don't think this way, you're going to get religious. If you don't teach this way, you don't live this way, you are going to get religious. But I told them that they're important to God. God is calling them out for this end time harvest before Jesus comes, and that this is why we're here. But they said also that they left the Orthodox Church and they're getting persecuted by the Orthodox Church, so they're all on their own. The Protestant pastors don't want anything to do with them because they're Orthodox and they don't really haven't talked and haven't really communicated or reached out to them. So they were so thankful that Pastor Gaetanette and I set up this meeting and came to teach, because they said, we have no fathers. We thank you so much for coming, for encouraging us, because they're all alone. And Pastor Gaetanette, when I first went to Ethiopia, I didn't know anybody there. I was just an Ethiopian pastor from Kitchener, which I had taught in his church because he was having trouble. And he said, you should take this teaching to Ethiopia. And I said, well, set it up and we'll see. So he set it up, and I was supposed to meet an evangelist at the airport at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he was there sleeping in his car and found me, and we got in the room, and then he took me to his church, the church where he attends, which had 3,000 people. We ministered there, and then the next day, he drove me out into the country to a town called Waliso, which is about 70,000, and to Pastor Gaetanette's place. I never ever met the man before, never heard of him. He never heard of me, but I just started teaching. And according to Pastor Gaetanette, when he heard the teaching, he sat there and he cried. He had started 80 churches. He had 80 pastors under him. He was always evangelizing, outreaching. He's an evangelist, really. But he was very aggressive, determined, hard, he said. I just found this out this trip. I didn't know all this stuff. He said that when he saw something that had to be done, then he grabbed somebody and said, you do this, and you do this, and you do that. And it was like he was ordering them around and getting things done. Well, sometimes you have to with these people. But when he heard the heart seminar, he said he just sat there and cried. He said, even after you left, I still cried. And it has totally changed his ministry, his perspective of the kingdom, his vision. This is all the things that God does in their heart, because they see the big picture now. And so he had some problems in his church. And so he just, some factions in the church, because he's not from that area. There's still a tribal mindset in these countries. And if you're not from that area or from their tribe, well, they'll put up with you for a while, but eventually that stuff gets back in there again. And he got really upset with them. He said, after all the teaching you've heard from Pastor Hank, you still acting like this? What's wrong with you? anyways, he just, here, have the church. He put a couple pastors in charge, and he left. And so he still has the ministry, but the Light of the World Ministries, it's called. But he just gave the church to a couple pastors there, and so now they're just having church. And he says, I think this is of God, though. And I know it was, because this happens every time. When God hooks me up with Pastor Thabit in Egypt, he was pastoring, but then he had to leave and start doing apostolic work with all the other churches and raising up house churches. Pastor Daniel has done the same thing. He stopped pastoring and is setting up Bible schools all over the country, and he's doing really great. And so they take on their apostolic ministry, and so this is what Pastor Gatenet has done now. And it was interesting. I didn't realize all this had happened. But before I left the last time, Pastor Gatenet had talked about doing a seminar for Muslim brothers who got saved. So God had already put that on his heart. But what he's done now, he's taken the vision for the nation. He's working at creating kingdom unity for the nation. And his purpose now is to go to all the Orthodox priests and bishops where he can to do the heart seminar. And he's been getting phone calls from all over the country already. It's much cheaper for him to do it. I says, well, good, that's what has to happen. Because I can't travel all over Ethiopia at my age and my condition to do all these seminars. I don't even want to. It's not what I'm supposed to do. The thing is to get them trained, get the message. Pastor Gatenet has heard the heart seminar 7 times, he says, and every time it's like it's brand new to him. And he's so excited about it. And so he has a vision for the nation now, apostolic vision. And his part is to go to all these Orthodox priests with the heart seminar, because they want everyone to hear it. And these Orthodox priests will teach it to all their people. And I believe 43% of the population, which would be 43 million people, are Orthodox. But he can only go to the ones that have left the Orthodox institution, who are open to the Spirit of God and what he's saying. But they're committed to teach it themselves too, but they want him to come. They don't have the confidence to do seminars for other priests, so they want him to come and do them. For $1,000, Gatenet can go and do a seminar, which would count his costs, his expenses of traveling, being there, and probably some food for them for one day also. So he's got a vision for that. There was a pastor in the, trying to get this figured out, the western part of Ethiopia, who was a theologian, a Lutheran. He heard the seminar, and I was out there a couple times, one time, twice, I guess. And he was determined to raise up 1,300 leaders that understood the heart seminar and then could spread it to the rest of the people. And in that area, there's 94% Muslims. I never did find out how he made out with that. I'll have to ask Pastor Gatenet to get in touch with him and see what he ever did about that. But this is how the heart seminar is affecting them, because it's God uses it to get them together and to get kingdom-minded so that he can work through them and purify their hearts. So this is Pastor Gatenet's. This is Pastor Gatenet here. But he always kept telling me about the teaching and how it changed his ministry, and I would just sort of smile, and because sometimes, you know, they're just not just being nice to you, or it's really true. But this time he said, no, I cried when you gave it, and I cried after you left, and it definitely has changed my whole ministry. So now he's got a vision for the nation. So he wants to set up a office in Addis. But to do that, he has to have a degree, according to the government, to have a national organization, because they have one national organization, which is the Orthodox Church, and another national organization where all the Protestant churches belong to. And now he wants to set up his own organization, so they will let him do it, but he has to have a degree in an office in Addis. So he's gone back to school, to theological center there. His campus was not too far from where I was staying. And in that school, one of his professors, who has two master's degrees, used to be an ex-terrorist. Let's look at a couple more pictures here. Ted, if we can. This is me with my bishop buddies. This is Pastor Gatinet. I don't know why they have different color robes, but next one, Ted. This is a different church. The pastor of this church is called Pastor Marit. He is probably in his 70, 75 years old. He was pastoring before communism even came, which was like 40 years ago. They were under communism for 20 years, 20 years that they've been free of it. But he was pastoring even before communism. He has started probably 500 churches in his lifetime. During communism, he was thrown in jail many times, tortured, beaten, and so forth, but he's still going. And so this is just their worship team. But he, everybody knows him, and he's going to work together with Pastor Gatinet, plus this ex-terrorist, who is now a professor in the theological center. I'll tell you about him in a minute. And the three of them are going to head up Kingdom Unity for the Nation. And so Pastor Marit and Pastor Gatinet want to do another seminar where they get the Protestant pastors together with the Orthodox priests and bishops. And then, of course, they want me to come and do that seminar. I said, we'll see. It'll be under different terms where I can rest for a week before I start. maybe I'll go to Serbia first and get used to the time change and then go or something. Go ahead, Ted. There should be other ones before this one.
I'm just going through your scroll.
All right. All right. This is Muslim Brothers that he is teaching, this terrorist. Let me just fill you in on him first. Go through till you see a picture of a guy with his wife. Here we go. This is him. Washed Wabishet. Trying to think of his last name. Tekawol. Tekawol. Probably pronouncing that wrong. This is him and his wife. He was with Al-Qaeda, and he was an extremist. He was a Muslim. And he went from, he was Ethiopian, but he went from Ethiopia to Sudan to a terrorist training camp for 3 to 5 years. He personally met Osama bin Laden a few times, and he was there training to be a terrorist. And one day he was kneeling down praying, and he had a vision of Jesus' hands with holes in them. He says, no, I can't accept this. I mean, everything he's been taught has been opposite of what the Lord was showing him. And so he just couldn't handle it. He says, no, I can't accept this. So that night the Lord appeared to him and said, you're going to go back to Ethiopia and you're going to win many Muslims to my kingdom for me. I actually met one of these guys. Well, I didn't meet him. I talked to him. Because of what happened, he couldn't get back to Addis. He wanted to see me before I left, but it didn't work out. So he goes back to Ethiopia. He walks into this large church with 1,000 people. And they're running out the doors and jumping out the window because they know he's a terrorist. He says, no, wait, I became a Christian. Jesus sent me here. Yeah, right. And they keep jumping out the window and running out the doors. Finally, I guess after a while, he convinced him he was the real thing. So this church is called, in English, Word of Life Church. It was started by missionaries over 100 years ago. And there is now 9,000 churches connected to this organization throughout Ethiopia, 10 million adherents. To me, that's a story like over 100 years, the kingdom of God, how it keeps growing. See, but the Ethiopians' hearts, they're hungry for God. And they respond when they hear truth. And there are people that read their Bible, they just don't have all the full understanding. But 10 million adherents. And this church, I guess since he got there, I guess he told them his vision. And so this church then is reaching out to Muslims. And he's in charge of the organization, part of the church that's reaching out to Muslims. And they've gone to 14 areas where there's extreme Muslims. Let me just read an email here that he sent me, if I can find it quickly. Dear Dr. Hank, warm greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pray that you arrive safely home. Thank you so much for your prayers, concern, support, and kindness you have for and his kingdom. It's great privilege and opportunity to be partners and serve with you in the harvest field. Your prayers and support is a backbone for our ministry. Just to give you a little summary of our ministry at EKHC, which is that Word of Life Church. I'm Ubishet, director of the Muslim Outreach Program. We started Muslim Outreach Program before 10 years, and we have Muslim Background Brothers Training Center in a town called Butajari. Since we started training and church planting among radical Muslims, 72 churches have planted in the past 5 years. 28,900 Muslims came to Christ and baptized in the past 5 years. We are focusing in 14 zones in Ethiopia, Muslim-dominated and radical Muslim areas. We need your prayers and stand beside us in your support. Most welcome to serve his kingdom with us. Please see attachment of pictures of mine and Muslim background brothers. All right, let's go through some more pictures here and we'll... So, here's a baptismal service. Let's go to the next one, Ted. Baptizing. They have a ladies' Muslim outreach also. Next, Ted. He is, when I called him, he's the one that set up these meetings with these Muslim brothers where we were supposed to go. He had 300 of them coming out to these two meetings for us to do the heart seminar. Now, what happened was the government declared a state of emergency, which is sort of like martial law. And this province, those two meetings were down here, and this province told the government, we're not going to submit to your state of emergency. But nothing was happening, everything was quiet, but the government, of course, sent troops down there. It's, you know, yes, you are going to submit to our state of emergency. Well, then the militia down here started shooting at the government officials, and everything got shut down. And the government is sort of like a communist mentality. They don't let you get together in groups and meet because you might be doing and planning something against the government, especially in a time of crisis. So the meetings were shut down, the roads were shut down. We couldn't get there. He couldn't get back to Addis. But I left the money there, and Pastor Gate Danette is going to do the seminars down there once things settle down with Wabashet. Now, Pastor Gate Danette, Wabashet is one of his professors, and Pastor Gate Danette showed the teaching to him on the heart, and he is just beside himself. He's never heard anything like this, never seen anything like this at any university, and he's got two master's degrees and never heard of everything in one package this way, where it's discipleship, it's purification of heart, it's deliverance, it's counseling, it's inner healing, it's everything in one package, and he's just so amazed with it. He wants to teach it to all these Muslims, the 29,000. Plus, he's in a church organization that has 10 million people. We never had time to talk, but I'm seeing how God is moving here. He's probably going to get it through all those churches too. So you see how God just opens up things. But the interesting thing is that Gaitanet told me that he wanted to minister to Muslims before he met this man. He goes to school and see what happens. And you have to stand back and see how God is doing this, because he's given this man a vision probably about the same time I start working with Pastor Gaitanet. Puts the Muslims on Gaitanet's heart, because we've been in areas where there was 4,000 Muslim in the underground church, and Gaitanet wanted to get the heart seminar to them. Well, so the Lord was already putting it on his heart. Then he goes to school, and one of his teachers is working with Muslims because he was an ex-terrorist. And then he hooks the three of us up together. So this guy also has a vision for unity. So he's going to keep reaching the Muslims, teaching the Muslims the heart seminar. Gaitanet's going to take the heart seminar to the Orthodox priest. And we've already done a lot of Protestant priests or Protestant pastors with the seminar. But Pastor Marit wants to reach out with Gaitanet, also to the Protestants, to get as many of them on board with just kingdom unity mentality, because this is what God is saying, because he's building his church. All I do is show up and do a little teaching. But you see how God is working and how he's moving. And you just stand back and you see the big picture, and it's just utterly amazing that this heart seminar that he gave me for preparing his people, he just takes it. And I mean, even these 42 bishops and priests are determined they're going to get this seminar as far as they can. Everywhere I teach that, the pastors and the priests say, everybody has to hear this. Every Christian has to hear this, because it's so revealing, and God ministers to their hearts and clears up a lot of things they didn't understand. It takes away the confusion about salvation and how it works and the three-part process of salvation. Everything is there. And so, all right, let's have a couple more pictures. While that Sunday I was talking with him, because he was in this area setting up these meetings where we had to go, but he said he can't have meetings because the government will shut them down. But here he is meeting with, I guess there's some ladies there too. Maybe it's not this meeting, but these are all ex-Muslims. But he was having a meeting when I called him with 30 sheikhs and imams. Imams are the leaders in the Muslim mosque. And the sheikhs are, I don't know what they are. Pardon? Tribal leaders, yeah. That's what they would be, because that's what the Arabs have, eh? They're sheikhs. So they would be tribal leaders and leaders in the mosque. Imams are like the teachers, like we would call pastors teachers. And he had 30 of them that he was ministering to. So this guy is really starting to get around and make some inroads. So remember that church I told you about that was started 100 years ago and now has 10 million people? That's the kingdom of God working. But see, when we go into these nations, it's like not much is happening, but we're sowing seeds, and the kingdom starts to grow. Look how it's ready to take off now in the whole nation. So when we sing that song, Lord, Give Us the Nations, he literally is doing that. It's just amazing, amazing. Let's have some more pictures here, Ted. So this is he has a discipleship school. The Muslims that get saved, he brings them out to discipleship school. He teaches them the basics, and then he teaches them how to witness and send them back into their areas to be witnesses. And they've already started 75 churches in the last 5 years. Now, everything is done pretty well in the open. They're not in much as much danger of getting killed as if you are in Arab nations where you have the extremist. But their houses are being burned. Some of them, they're getting beat up. They're getting persecuted the same as the Orthodox priests are getting persecuted. But again, they're so excited to know Jesus, to have the truth after having been deceived for so many years, that they just won't quit. And a lot of times, the more the persecution, the stronger the church gets. It's just utterly amazing. But this is the teaching that will really propel them forward and keep them going and not give up. All right, see if there's any more pictures, Ted, or if that's it. We have a next one. Here's a ladies' meeting, too. They have ladies to reach out. These are all ex-Muslims. Next picture, Ted. Oh, back to the start. So anyways, that's sort of a summary of everything that is happening, what God is doing. The night that I left, there was one of the young priests that had been at the seminar, Pastor Gatinette. He was tagging along with Pastor Gatinette and came to the hotel. And so I said goodbye to him and I went to shake his hand. He took my hand and he put it on his heart and he wouldn't let go. Like he couldn't speak a word of English, but he was standing there crying, just trying to convey the appreciation of what we had done and the message we'd given. And he was like, 25 to 30 years old. But these people have a heart for God. And when they hear the truth, they are just so appreciative and they'll just keep trucking and trucking and they will not quit. And so it's just amazing how God works through this heart seminar to really get them established. And I've said a number of times, we're working on kingdom unity here, but it's a tough go in Canada. But Ethiopia is a nation, because of their hearts, that God can really bring about kingdom unity and use that as a nation to show the world what he'll do if his people will come together. And these Orthodox priests and bishops are such a big part of that. But there's a price to pay. It'd be nice if the whole Orthodox Church would just turn to God, but you got religious people in there, people position and leadership, same as in the Jewish system when Jesus came. It was that religious system that killed him, and it's the religious system that always tries to kill a move of God, but these people will not quit, they said, especially now since they've had this teaching. So I would just really, to me, it's an honor to be able to go and teach these Muslims and these Orthodox priests, but I'm so excited about what God is doing there and in their lives. The vision that we have here for Canada, at least over there, it's happening. It encourages me to keep going here and to keep on trucking. And I'm still amazed every time somebody asked me before I left, you must be excited about going. Well, as you understand the physical things that I go through, I'm not excited about going. I'm excited about teaching and seeing what God does, but the traveling, it's tough. It was tough before I had an operation. It was tough when I was younger, but now it's really tough. So we'll just see. I am getting stronger, though. I feel that when I went to Serbia a couple years ago, it was really bad. Brazil was better than Serbia. The last fall was better. And for the most part, I wasn't that sick other than having that bug. And I'm never worried about anything. It's just that when I overdo, I know I got to rest, but it's not like I'm sick. I don't worry about my blood pressure. Don't worry about my heart. I've had all kinds of tests. Everything is strong and healthy. I'm in great shape. It's just when I overdo, which I tend to do, I'm doing more than what my body can handle. So I got to listen to my body and rest. But it's sometimes I get to a point where I don't know whether I should exercise or rest, because if you don't exercise and do anything for a week, then you get really sluggish and that rawness is still there too. And so then sometimes when it's there bad, I just go out and work for a while and it seems to disappear and work your way through it. But it's always a balance of understanding where you're at. And I'm learning more and learning to control it better. And I'm gradually, they say from a heart operation, it takes sometimes up to 2 years to heal. And because I was exercising so much and overdoing, I probably set back the healing process a bit. Although my heart got 15% stronger during all that exercise. And so, but I have to, I'm learning to be more patient and take it a step at a time. Just do that same exercise. But, so, you know, like before Christmas, I was fine. I could run all day, drive where I had to drive, and talk and teach. And I was fine. I was strong. And then I got a cold, and it got so bad. You're supposed to rest when you have a cold. So I didn't do anything for a week and finally got the cold cleared up. But then the next day, I had to do a four-hour seminar or 5 hours on my feet. And without having exercised, then that sets you back so far that it takes another week or two to get back to normal again. Then when you travel, you have the jet lag, different food, different sleeping conditions, different everything. And so it all adds up to be part of the problem. But anyways, we'll get there. And I just am still believing the Lord for complete and total strength so I can travel and do these things and keep doing them. And it is getting better slowly, but it does take time. I just am always in a hurry. I was told the more exercise you do, the better you feel. So I did too much exercise. I felt worse. They lied to me. But the doctors do the best they can, but they don't always know what's going on. Anyways, that's our trip to Ethiopia. And there's enough money left there that, Pat, you can take that picture down now, Ted. We don't need any more entertainment. There's enough money left there that Pastor Gatinette is going to do a seminar for that first place we were supposed to go for the Orthodox priest, plus the two seminars for the Muslim brothers are going to be done also. And so that's all going to get done. All the money came in. Everything is paid for. We had, I believe, 14,000 came in altogether. And able to pay for everything. Plus, I was able to bless Pastor Gatinette and his family with $1,000 because they're always struggling. They're in a, he's got three kids. They're in a two-bedroom house. The rent is really expensive. And they eat in the kitchen. It's just a small place. Then they put the stuff aside, put a mat on the floor, and one of the kids sleeps on the mat until it's time for everybody to get up in the morning and straighten out the kitchen and eat again. So it's very difficult there. Things are expensive. Income is low. But they love the Lord, and they just keep on trucking. So I'm excited that Gatinette has got a national vision now. He's got some great people that's working with him, that they can reach Muslims and Orthodox and the Protestant church, all facets of it. So good stuff is happening. Father, we thank you. We are just amazed at what you are doing, Lord. Lord, we pray for Ethiopia. We pray that you're, although there's so much difficulties there, we see your kingdom advancing in leaps and bounds. And Lord, we realize that wickedness is increasing in the last days, that we see it in governments. We see it all over the world. We keep hearing about it, corruption in governments, and that's where we see the wickedness, first of all, because they're in leadership and they're there because of power and desire for position and riches, Father. But Lord, we also see that your kingdom is quickly advancing. And we thank you for that opportunity. Lord, the privilege of ministering to these Orthodox and Muslim brothers and what you're doing and what you did with Wabashet, Father, and how you brought it all together with Gatinette and myself and the vision for the nation. You're just amazing, Lord. You had it all planned out. We didn't understand it, but as we keep being faithful, you bring it about in its due time. And Father, we know that you're doing this in Canada also and other nations of the world, that in your timetable, if we keep our hands off it, you will bring it to pass. So we give you praise and honor and glory, Father. Thank you for the privilege of being in your body in these times where there is such a call for unity and seriousness. We know you're not playing church anymore, Lord, that you're serious, and we want to be serious too. And we thank you for this opportunity. Give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I think I got a thumbs up signal. I think the food is ready. The girls have got it out. So enjoy the fellowship and the food.